The Word ministers life to our spirit man, and the Word is the answer to everything that's culminated this morning. So I want to bring you to Psalm 112 and verses 4 through 8. When Faith and I had the two children that we've had together, we began to look for scriptures pertaining to our children as well so that we could learn to speak the Word over their lives. And we did before they were born, and we continued to speak the Word over them. And there's some wonderful promises in Psalm 112. I'm going to focus on 4 through 8, but because I like to set scriptures in their context, it's important to read the first three verses as well. It said, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments." So the word is his commandments. It's full of his statutes, his ordinances, his commandments, his instructions for us. And to fear the Lord is to have a reverence and an awe and a respect for who he is. His seed, this is where our children came in. Whose seed? The man who fears the Lord, the one who wants to do and will do what the word says to do. His seed, his children, shall be mighty upon the earth. And we began to speak that over our children's lives. And mighty can take on many, many aspects. Mighty can mean something like, I'm just going to use Tom's testimony this morning about becoming the executive director of a TV station. Mighty could be a mighty warrior, a soldier, or a military person, or mighty in stature, mighty in power, mighty in strength, mighty in the gifts of being able to love one another. Mighty can take on a lot. And it says the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. And you start picking these scriptures apart and seeing how all of these promises fit together. Now we come down to verse 4. And I have the NIV for this because it's a little bit not so backwards in the way it's written. Even in darkness, verse 4, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Now think of that. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. We have a sunrise every day in our lives. And even though maybe there's spiritual darkness, there's also light. And that light is in you and I. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Don't hide your light under a basket or a bushel. Let it shine. And that light radiates from each of you. As a believer, there's a light flashing inside, hope, purpose, direction, life, peace, joy. All of those things are inside of each one of us. And even in the darkness of this world, look at your lives and look at how important each life is to the Lord and how he's empowered us, he's enabled us, he's infilled us with his spirit, and he uses each one of us. Each one of us has a purpose and a direction. That's why Jeff, he doesn't have to be afraid of me anymore, because now he understands. I was afraid of Christians too at one time because I didn't understand. So, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice or fairly or equally. This is a promise. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely. And I think of how, as a body, I can't talk about anybody else's fellowships because I don't know squat about anybody's stuff, only what they're willing to share. But here, how quick, whenever there's a need, we don't have to beg and plead and bawl and squall. We say, there's a need. This is the need. Let's see what God will enable us to do to help. And not one person that I know of has ever been offended by that. see you deserve some praise too. And I know you don't want any. You don't seek that. But when you see scriptures like this, did you notice what the benefit is? It says good is going to come for those who are generous and lend freely. Don't look for something in return. Didn't Jesus say that? Give expecting nothing in return. That's hard in today. Donald Trump or anybody else wouldn't think like that. He'd have been broke a long time ago. Most banks could never prosper if they would just give their money, not looking for any back, because that doesn't make any sense in man's kingdom. But in God's kingdom, that makes it. That's where prosperity is. That's where the blessing is. It comes from Him and His principles. Who conduct their affairs with justice? Keeping a good reputation with people, being honest. Keep your word. Keep your promises you make to others. Those are all going to be counted. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. You can't find a word of more assurance than the word surely. Or Jesus used the word verily. Verily and surely. The words that immediately follow that word, there is no purer form of truth than what the promise comes after those words, surely or verily. I mean, even Ivory Snow is 99.44% pure. And that's pretty good in man's kingdom or his economy. But when you think about the purity of God's word and the promises, whenever you see the word surely, you won't ever see it the same again after today, because you're going to be looking for the next words. What's the certainty of what's coming after those words? Surely the righteous will never be shaken. Who are the righteous? And how did we become righteous? How did we? What happened that God declared us to be righteous? Born again. That's right. We received Christ, and it was His blood that washed us and cleansed us and made us brand new creations. And the old has passed away, just like that banner there. And it says, surely the righteous will never be shaken. We're not going to be moved. We're not going to bow down to a spirit of fear. We don't have to. We have faith. And faith in the Lord is stronger than fear of the devil and what he says he's going to do. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. Having just done a funeral with Judy last week, I remembered about surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because oftentimes we use the 23rd Psalm in those particular ministries to families. But it says they will be remembered forever. People are going to remember you. There's going to be certain things about your life that they're going to remember. And they might not be the things that you think you hope that they'll remember, because there's a lot of things you wish they'd forget, truthfully. But there are going to be certain things in a person's life. And someday somebody will be talking about me. But that's okay. They talk about me already. I've learned to live with that. And that's okay. But the day will come when we'll have our day too. And what are people going to say about us? What are they going to remember about us? They will have no fear of bad news. There's bad news all around us. But it shouldn't produce fear in us. Because my Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I know we tell corny jokes and laugh and carry on like real people do, because I think that's a wonderful freedom we have in Christ. But we also know when it's time to be serious about things of the Lord, and we do that. But having no fear of bad news, even when the church closed for a few weeks, I don't know anybody that got into fear. We sought the Lord to see a creative way that maybe He would show us that we could at least still have the Word together. And He did that, and we did that, and it worked. Their hearts are steadfast. He's talking about the righteous now, so put your name in there. Your hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Steadfast means I'm not being moved off of my faith confession. I don't care what circumstances look like. I've come to that place where my attitude is, well, that may be the way it is today, but in the name of Jesus, it's subject to change. It doesn't have to stay the way it is. Today's the starting point of the rest of our lives, and new things can happen starting today. And our hearts are steadfast. Their hearts are secure. Our hearts are safe with God. He's not a heartbreaker. He doesn't bring discouragement and despair. He heals the brokenhearted. Did not Jesus say in Luke 4:18, Peggy, that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted? Did he say that, or am I making that up? What's that? He did say that, didn't he? Yes, he surely did. Amen. So there's hope. Even, you know, Judy and all of us that experience sadness and are grieving or mourning, you can't undo Luke 4:18 where Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. And so I don't want to neglect needful things to say. And these are such reassurances to all of us. Their hearts are secure, they will have no fear. And in the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. All the people that spoke against you in your life, all the people that tried to tear you down, lie about you and tell stories, we don't boast over our enemies. We don't have to, because God will raise us up if we have the right heart attitude, the right spirit, and we don't get critical and judge people, and we walk our love walk, God will raise us up above our accusers. They can say all they want and beat their lips, but they can't touch you, because you're covered not only in the blood of Jesus, but it's like your heart is secure in God's hands. The song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He has you in his hands as well. So I find a lot of precious promises just in these few verses of scripture. And it's difficult for me to sit and read a whole chapter at times. It takes great discipline for me to do that, because I like to pick the word apart and look at it a little more thoroughly, because it's like every line there's a promise. And so it's huggy break time, or however you want to greet each other, but take a few minutes and please do that. We're not done yet. I have a prayer that I would like to I'd like to read it from scripture, because it's a scriptural prayer, and it flows with what the Holy Spirit would be speaking to us. It's from Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul prayed this prayer for believers, not just for the church at Ephesus, but for the body of Christ. And many times we close our meetings different ways, different prayer. Sometimes the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we take turns. But God always wants us to be assured that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He always has our best interests in mind and in his heart. And so with this prayer for this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And we're dismissed, except for those, maybe if you have a personal prayer need that didn't get covered earlier, we will certainly welcome that. But otherwise, let the Spirit that lives in you continue to flow through you and minister these words that you heard today. Amen? We're free.